told Joe, Joe said, are you going to have a real message tonight? I said, it's going to be about half the length of normal. He said, amen. So, you can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 is where we'll be tonight. Luke 17. But Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And tomorrow is our national holiday of Thanksgiving. And it's a good reminder about who gives us all thanks. As believers, the Bible says we should enter into His court, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The Bible says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. And tonight I want us to take a look at some men that were not thankful to God and one man that was thankful to God. At Luke 17 is where we're going to be. We always hear about the Good Samaritan, right? I mean, there's Samaritan hospitals. They're all based off this Good Samaritan. But that was a guy in a parable. He's not even a real guy. He's a fictional character, but he gets all this press, all this glory. We never hear about the thankful Samaritan. The thankful Samaritan. Yet he was a real person. And he taught us a great lesson. But somehow he's been, this other guy's light years ahead of him and he's not even real. So I want to change that tonight. I'm going to try to strike a blow for the thankful Samaritan as we look at him. So Luke 17, we're going to start in verse 11. If you'd please stand with me. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Looking tonight at the thankful Samaritan. Luke 17, starting with verse 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you teach us tonight from your word, from this actual event, from this thankful Samaritan. Help us to be like him. Help us to be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So verse 11 tells us, it came to pass that as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he was on his way to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And so this was a border town right between Samaria and Galilee. So on the border, you'd expect to find both Samaritans and Jews. And that's what we find here. Verse 12 tells us, as he entered into a certain village, we don't know the village, but it was a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And that was the law. That was the law given to Moses from God, that if you had leprosy, you were to stand afar, outside the camp, outside the village. So they were doing what they're supposed to, standing afar off. Verse 13 says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So we see that they recognized Jesus. They weren't afraid to call out to Jesus either. Okay, you'd think they might be a little hesitant to call out. I mean, they're marginalized citizens. They couldn't even come in with the normal people. They were outside the city gates. They could only talk amongst themselves. I mean, these people were not the important members of society, to say the least. You'd think they might be a little hesitant, but they weren't. Okay, they knew that Jesus cares for all people. This is the same Jesus said that if you do anything for the least of these, it's like doing it unto Him. Jesus cares about everybody. Okay, they knew the character of Jesus. We can see that. They weren't afraid to call out to Him. He's God. He's performing all these miracles. He's doing all these things, yet He cares for every single person. And look at what they said when they called out. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they recognized Him as Master, right? They recognized that He had a right to rule over them. They would do what He said because He was their Master. They called Him Master. And then they asked Him to have mercy on them, which shows that they believed that He could heal them. Okay, they recognized that God was with Jesus somehow. I don't know if they knew that Jesus was God. They didn't understand the Trinity, all this, but they knew that God was with Jesus and He had the power of God with Him, and they asked Him to have mercy on them. We come to verse 14. And when Jesus saw them, He said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So this is interesting. Jesus told them to show themselves to the priest. And that was in the law of Moses, that the priest would be the ones that would judge if a person was clean and they could re-enter into the camp, into the city. And so they were to go to the priest. But look what he did. He told them to go first, right? And show themselves. He hadn't said, I'm going to heal you, or I'll heal you as you go, or that you are healed. He just told them to go. I mean, yet they did what the master said. They called him master, and they actually, you know, put their money where their mouth was, and they followed. They just started going. I mean, can you imagine these people? They got leprosy. They're not supposed to be in the town. They're not supposed to go to the temple. They're not supposed to go to any of these places. Not the temple, but the synagogue in town. But Jesus told them to go, and they have leprosy. They're breaking the law if they would go and infect somebody with it, get close. I mean, they could be, who knows what would happen. And they didn't know if he's going to heal them. He didn't say he would heal them. They didn't know if it'd be on the first step that they went, on the second, on the third, if it was the, you know, they had to go 95% of the way, 99% of the way, and at the last minute he'd heal them. They had no idea. But yet they went, the Bible says. Yeah, it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. We don't know how far. Okay, but as they went, they were healed. So they obeyed, and they were healed. Now this is not a parable. This is an actual event, right? Because the tendency is for us to try to spiritualize this and say, okay, now they were healed. They had to obey first. They had to walk, and they had to do all these things, and walk, and walk, and walk, and finally they were healed. So that means salvation is by works or something. We try to spiritualize it. But this is not a parable. This is an actual event. It's exactly what it means. They obeyed and they were healed of a physical disease. And it's not saying that you have to obey and do all these things and finally you work hard enough and you obey enough and you're saved. We are saved the moment we come to Christ. And when we're saved, our lives will change. But we don't have to change our life and get it all ready and then come to Christ. So here it's talking about physical healing. And Jesus, sometimes he healed them right away. This time, he told them to walk and go. And they were, as they went, they were saved. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So there were 10 men that were healed of leprosy. And only one turned back to thank Jesus. Only one turned back to thank God. And let's look at what he did. He did three things. First, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. That's the first thing he did, was turn back. The others kept going one way, but he turned back and went toward Jesus. He turned back and went towards Jesus. Second, it says, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. So he glorified God was the second thing that he did. He recognized that the healing was from God. It wasn't just a chance and it was coincidence that, yeah, I asked him and maybe just it's coincidence we got healed. No, he knew it was from God. So he turned back, he stopped going with the others, turned back towards Jesus. That's the main thing. He turned towards Jesus and he glorified God. And then it says, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He thanked God. He thanked Jesus. He realized that Jesus didn't have to have mercy on him. And Jesus was under no obligation. They didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. But Jesus had mercy on him, so he went back and thanked him. So he turned back, he glorified God, and he thanked Jesus. And he did these things even though he was not a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. Jews and Samaritans weren't supposed to have much to do with each other. But this Samaritan came back and thanked Jesus. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And he seems to be kind of taken aback that these 9 just kept on going. Only 1 out of 10 returned. And these men had a disease that not only, I mean, we've been sick, some of us very sick, some of us in the hospital. I mean, it's terrible. To be healed from that is amazing and a blessing. But this disease also ostracized them from the whole community. I mean, they had not only had the physical symptoms, but they had to have the emotional from being, you know, cast out of the city. And he healed them. But 9 out of 10 did not thank him. Only 1 came back to thank our Lord. Look at this. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Jesus said that by turning back and giving thanks, that this man was giving glory to God. And only this one stranger, this one Samaritan, came back. And we come to verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, to the Samaritan, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Okay, remember, this man was on his face at the feet of Jesus. So Jesus said, arise, go thy way. I mean, I take it he said, all right, he still is going to go show himself to the priest, because that's the law. Jesus didn't come to break the law, he came to fulfill the law. So he said, he came back and gave thanks to you. He said, arise, go thy way. So he's going to go way behind these other nine to the priest. Okay, but then Jesus says something that really surprises me. It surprises the reader. I mean, it could be the end of that. He said, thank you for thanking me and all these things. But Jesus said at the end of verse 19, thy faith hath made thee whole. Okay, now the Samaritan was already cleansed. In verse 14, all 10 of them were cleansed. So what does it mean now that he is whole? What does it mean that Jesus said, arise, thy faith hath made thee whole? What is received by faith? Okay, they all receive physical healing, right? All 10 of them. But this man is the only one that said, now your faith has made you whole. Now this man is whole. So we can see he's not only physically healed, we can have the strongest physical bodies in the world and still be not whole. I mean, we still are on our way to hell. We still have this sin problem. But this man, all of a sudden, he is made whole. Not only physically, but now spiritually. So he was spiritually healed. He was saved by faith. And we see that. Verse 19, thy faith hath made thee whole. So the others weren't saved. Okay, they didn't have what Jesus called faith. Jesus told this man, thy faith hath made thee whole. They called him master. They did what he said. But they didn't have what Jesus called faith. We can say, Jesus our Lord, we can do everything we're supposed to do and still not have faith. We're not saved by the things that we do. We can go and be, and that's what the Pharisees, they were by the letter of the law, but their heart was not changed. They would do all these things, but their heart was not changed. They didn't do the things that a Christian would do. But this guy, through his thankfulness, showed that his faith hath made him whole. So this Samaritan, what did he do? He turned back. He was going with the crowd, but he turned back to Jesus. That's the first thing he did. For us to be saved, we must turn to Jesus. We must turn to Jesus, have a change of direction in our life, because we're following the world, and all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. So we got to turn from following the world and turn to Christ. The first thing we do is turn to Christ and just call out to Him for Him to save us. Next, it says He glorified God. The Samaritan recognized that God was the author of the healing. And Jesus called what this Samaritan did faith. And He said this faith made him whole. So we need to understand, first we need to turn to Jesus. That's what faith is. Second, it's giving glory to God, recognizing that salvation comes from God. Finally, the thankful Samaritan, he thanked Jesus. And Jesus called that part of faith. That's what He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. So thanking Him. And when we thank God, when we realize that we can do nothing, we did do nothing, there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. It's a free gift from God out of heaven. Okay, and this is where I want to focus on, this thankful part. Because we usually thank people for something, really thank people when they do stuff for us, when we don't deserve it, when we couldn't help ourselves, when we can't pay them back. That's when we're really thankful. Like if we go to the grocery store and check out, if we're polite, we might say thank you for, you know, bagging the groceries or giving us change. But really, we know that's kind of the way society works. They're getting paid for it. We say thank you, but we're not like falling down. Just thank you so much for giving me my change back. You know, if a waiter comes and the waiter brings us our meal, we don't just say, oh, thank you so much. I just can't believe you did. We're not really thankful. We say thank you to be polite. But we know that's, we kind of deserve that. They're going to get compensated. We kind of earn it. You know, we're going to pay for it in a way we pay the grocery store for making that person work. So we're not truly thankful because we think we had something to do with it. But yet if somebody comes and does something for us that we in no way could save ourselves, we in no way could help ourselves, and we did not earn it, then we're truly thankful. I mean, you think of somebody saving your life. I mean, you would be truly thankful. And then you would just be, what can I do? And there's not words to express how thankful you are. And you know that there's nothing you could do that could make it up. There's a true thankfulness is when you realize that you didn't deserve it. And that's when true thankfulness to God is realizing that we don't deserve the stuff that we get from Him. That we don't feel we deserve the blessings that He gives us. All right, now let's focus on ourselves here. Okay, what can we see about ourselves? We can easily look at these nine men and say, what's the deal with them? How can you be saved from leprosy, healed from leprosy, and then just walk on your way? Okay, they had a completely life-changing answer. They called out to God, and they changed their life. Okay, we can call out to God and pray, and He can change our life. We can call out to God and pray, and He can answer that prayer, but how many times are we like those nine, and we just go on with our life? Okay, is it more than 1 out of 10 times? I mean, a lot of times God answers prayers, and we don't thank Him for it. We don't give Him the credit. We don't give Him the glory. We don't turn to Him. We don't do all these things. We just go on with our life like these nine. I think of a farmer. You know, let's say they're in a drought, and this farmer, I mean, he's just praying for rain and praying for rain and praying for rain, and then that rain finally comes. Okay, and in a time of desperate need, people that don't really care that much about God, they're going to pray. But when that rain happens, do they glorify God and give Him thanks for it? We should. But I know, I mean, man's tendency is to say, well, I mean, we saw that system moving in for 10 days. It wasn't really God. Or we could say, you know, well, we usually get 15 inches of rain a summer. I mean, it's just evening out. That's just what we deserve. You know, we needed that rain and we got it. I don't know why He held it. We've got to be hostile. Why did you hold that rain for so long? We could be like those nine men and just say, well, we deserve that rain. And not just with farming, with anything. I mean, doing this sermon today, I had to think, and I had to stop up here practicing the sermon. I mean, I prayed, you know, like for the Bible study this morning, that kids would show up and just that it would be all these things, that the Bible study would go well at the high school. And then it happened, and it wasn't until the afternoon that I thanked God for it because I was doing this sermon. But He answered the prayer, I mean, above anything that I could do. He answered the prayer, yet then I just go on with my life, just like these nine men. I mean, we can be like that. Giving thanks to God should be a huge part of our life. I mean, we thank Him for health, but sometimes I think we just say that until our health is taken from us. How much do we really mean that? We thank Him for food, but here in America, I don't think probably any one of us has ever really had to want for food. But if we could, I mean, if we truly understand what God has blessed us with, what God gives to us, and that it's not that we earn. I mean, to truly be thankful, we have to understand that we don't deserve it and we didn't earn it. If we think we or some part of we could handle ourselves, we could feed our family, we could do these things, we're not going to be truly thankful to God until we realize we can do nothing without Him. We take a lot of things for granted. And what's God's reaction? He says to me, he says, Lee, I mean, what about those 9 out of those 10 times? I mean, we see here Jesus, and Jesus is God. We see His emotions because we're made in His image. He wants us to give thanks. He wants us to understand we depend on Him. Okay? What opportunities to thank God are we overlooking? A huge part of our Christian life should be and is thanksgiving to God. And I just urge you tonight and during this Thanksgiving to become ever more aware of the things that God answers in prayer. I mean, we pray and He answers and we go on like nothing happened or like we deserved it, like that should have happened all along. Instead of praising Him, we're just like those nine. But we should be like the thankful Samaritan. We should give God the glory and give God praise. Like the Bible says, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight. And I ask forgiveness personally for the times that You have answered prayer, the times You have given me things, and all the stuff that we have, and the times that I know I take it for granted. Because it's, I think that somehow I deserve it or that it's due to me and that I could do it on my own. Lord, forgive me. Forgive all of us for where we are prideful and don't recognize how much we need to thank You and how much we owe You. So help each of us tonight and throughout this Thanksgiving season and throughout our lives to be able to give thanks to You, to be thankful unto You and bless Your name and to make that a habit in our lives, Lord. Thank You for this evening. Thank You for this church. We praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.